A court ruling in Europe this week could have major global implications. That's one of the big international stories of the coming days. And with me for our weekly look at some of them is the BBC's Rich Preston. And Rich, tomorrow we're expecting a ruling in a court case between Russia and Ukraine taking place in the Netherlands. What exactly is this about?
Yes, Mark, this is all about a collection of gold jewellery from Crimea, thousands of years old. It's called the Scythian gold. Now, this is interesting because it shows some of the smaller consequences of major global events. Now, this gold, Mark, was on loan from four Crimean museums to a museum in the Netherlands back in 2014. And then Russia annexed Crimea. And when the loan period was up and the treasure was due to be returned, Ukraine said, no, it can't go back to Crimea because Crimea is now in the hands of Russia. And at the time the gold was borrowed, it belonged to Ukraine. So this is really all about who owns the cultural artifacts of Crimea: Ukraine, the current administration in Crimea, or Russia. Now, the court in Amsterdam had originally found that the gold can only go back to a sovereign nation, which Crimea isn't, so therefore it should go back to Ukraine. But the museums in Crimea appealed that ruling, and the decision in that appeal is due tomorrow.
Now, Rich, Russia, Crimea, and Ukraine all obviously have something at stake here, but this is kind of sensitive for the Dutch too, right?
Yes. Now, you may remember that when Malaysian Airlines flight MH17 was shot down over eastern Ukraine several years ago, it had many Dutch passengers on board. Now, Dutch investigators say they're confident the flight was shot down by a Russian-made rocket being fired by Russian-backed separatists. Russia has reportedly threatened to cut cultural ties with the Netherlands if the gold doesn't go back to Crimea. So that ruling about a relatively small subject, but with potentially big ripples, due tomorrow.
And as you mentioned, that ruling coming tomorrow. The following day, on Wednesday, we'll see a record-setting moment for Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. He'll become Israel's longest-serving prime minister, but not all smooth sailing there.
No, the record's currently held, by the way, by David Ben-Gurion, the country's first leader, in 1948. But Mr. Netanyahu won an election earlier this year, allowing him to stay in office, and on Wednesday will become the new record holder. Now, it really is noteworthy, an achievement of this kind in Israeli politics. The parliamentary system there means that coalitions of several parties are needed to form a government, and often smaller parties can withdraw their support and force new elections. So to stay in power this long really is remarkable. But, and there is a but, although that election earlier this year was a definite win for Mr. Netanyahu, he wasn't able to form a government. And that means Israel is heading back into election campaigning mode. In the meantime, there's tension in the region between the US and Iran, as we know, and the US has begun talking about the so-called deal of the century, which we've discussed before, Mark, to restart negotiations between Israel and the Palestinians.
There's also the issue that Mr. Netanyahu is still facing legal problems.
Yes, Israel's attorney general informed him in February that he intended to indict him on charges of bribery, fraud and breach of trust in connection with three cases pending a final hearing that will happen after the elections. Mr. Netanyahu's wife also recently struck a deal with prosecutors over a complicated case involving misuse of state funds. So despite breaking this record, there are lots of things on Mr. Netanyahu's plate and lots of issues that could potentially see the next election go in someone else's favour.
And Rich, finally today, a week from today, Pakistan's Prime Minister Imran Khan will be in Washington, D.C. It'll be his first meeting with President Trump. And there's talk that this meeting could lead the two countries to reinvigorate their relationship, right?
Yes, now both of them talk about being long-term friends, Mark, but that relationship's been tested recently. Last year, President Trump cancelled $300 million in aid to Pakistan, saying it wasn't being tough enough on terrorism. And when India and Pakistan came close to open conflict over a terror attack earlier this year, the Trump administration seemed to side with India. But at the same time, the US wants Pakistan to help come up with some kind of workable peace deal in Afghanistan.
And there's also China in the mix as well.
Yes, and that inevitably complicates things. The US wants to build a regional balance to China's influence, and that means a political alliance of sorts with India. That's pushed Pakistan into turning more towards China for investment. But at the same time, President Trump says he's not happy with India's trade deals. He's called it the king of tariffs. And there's talk that India and the US could be heading for a trade war akin to what's happening with China. So plenty for President Trump and Imran Khan to talk about when they meet next week.
All right. That is the BBC's Rich Preston. Rich, as always, really good to talk to you. Thank you.
Thanks for having me, Mark.